Amen. Let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn back to 1 Peter. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, let's go back to this and read this text again. So let's stand and honor God's Word, the reading of His Word, and then I'm going to pray, and you pray with me, and we'll pick back up with this. And by the way, somebody's already told me, look, Brad, if we're going to be sitting in these hard chairs, your sermon's got to be shorter. So I'll do my best. No promises. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. As we think about living a life that we love, Peter says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Pray with me. Father, it is our desire that you would mold our hearts into the very image of Christ. That we would have his heart. And Lord, that's challenging as we read this. That we might pursue good and righteousness. So Father, I pray now that as we were blessed this morning, that you would bless us tonight. That you would mold us and shape us. That you would transform us into the very image of our Son. In Christ's name, amen. So we talked about this morning this idea that, you know, everybody wants a life that they love to live. Everybody's living life, but not so many people are loving the life that they live. And mostly because they think that if they achieve certain things in life, that that will bring happiness, that that will bring them joy. And the fact is that when we set goals real early in our life, we sometimes achieve them and realize this really didn't fit the inner desires of my heart. This really didn't accomplish what I thought it would accomplish in my life. And what we come to realize as we look into God's Word is that when we live life God's way, where He's at the center by His intentions, because He had designed us and He shaped us to glorify Him and to be loved by Him, to love Him. When we live life according to His paradigms and His desires, then that's when we find that life is really blessed. That's where we find that we begin to really love the life that we live, whether we, as I mentioned this morning, whether we end up looking like Brad Pitt or having the job that we wanted or driving the car, living in the house, and, you know, that image that we create. And so this morning we started by saying, look, it really has a lot to do with your relationship with other people. And so it starts with making sure that you live a life that respects others. That really respects others with the value that Christ places on them. And so that has a lot to do with your tongue and the way you speak to them. We talked about that. And then we talked about honoring them in such a way that they're loved, that you relate to them with Christ-likeness. And so now we're going to the second area that we've got to get right if we're going to live a life that we love. First is that your respect of them's got to be right. But secondly is your response to conflict. Your response to conflict. In verse 11, Peter quotes Psalm 34:14. Remember, he's preaching this psalm in this passage. And so he quotes this in verse 11, the Psalm 34:14. He says, let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, the way he applies this is very interesting, I think. He's saying, here's what this means for you. He says this in verse 9. Here's his application of that verse. He says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, verse 34 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Now, what we realize, though, is when we see how Peter applies that, he's not just talking about any type of evil. The type of evil that he's saying turn away from is quite frankly, the kind of evil we feel like we have a right to accomplish. The kind of evil we feel like we have a right to do. Now, that's hard. Now, I know you're looking at me and go, what in the world? What kind of evil do I think I have a right to do? And here's the kind of evil. When somebody's done you wrong, you feel like you have a right to do them wrong, don't you? We do. That's just kind of innate in our sinfulness. And it's hard to really receive what he's saying because it feels like that it's right. It goes directly against the way we feel. I mean, you hear what he said about me? Let me tell you some stuff about him. Do you know what she did? I am going to bury her. I am going to bury him. I cannot believe. You wait till I get my turn. You see, there's that pushback that we have, and we kind of want to quote Old Testament passages like, well, an eye. I mean, after all, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that what it says? They did that to you, y'all. Do it to them. Well, how do we make sense with that verse in what Peter is saying here about not returning evil for evil, but pursuing good? Well, what that passage, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth in the law, it was to keep people from overshooting in retaliation. In other words, if somebody put your eye out, don't kill them for it. You know, it was to limit retaliation. So if somebody put their eye out, at most, you have a right to take their eye. You don't have a right to take their life. So even that is about limiting retaliation. But we do feel justified in repaying evil for evil. And he says reviling. What is reviling? It's just insults. It's evil out of your mouth. If somebody insults me, well, I'm going to insult them back. So doing good, what he's talking about here, and seeking peace is not retaliating when you feel like you have a right to do so. That's what Peter's saying. And it's exactly what Jesus taught. I mean, over and over and over again, he taught this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him and give him the other also. Turn to him the other also. Man, that's tough. I mean, how many of you have read that verse just before, just in your Bible read? It's like, yeah, right. Who's going to do that? I mean, let me tell you something. I'm taking karate now with Noah. All right, I'm taking karate. And I am a lethal weapon. I have 4 stripes on my white belt. I'm lethal. All right, well, we were doing this thing the other day where only black belts were there and I happened to be thrown in the mix. I couldn't do anything what they were doing. But here's what they were doing. If somebody walked up behind them and kind of pushed them on the back, you know, it's kind of like just push them back, they would turn around and kick them in the face. Like, boom! And I asked them, do you think that's a little extreme? So I just wanted to see if you had money for a Coke, man. Are you kicking my teeth out? But isn't that the way we want to respond sometimes when somebody pushes on us a little bit? We want to turn around and just kick their teeth out. And Jesus says that is not the way you should respond if you want to live a life that you love. There was a time that I faced in ministry that was a very difficult time, very challenging for me. I was getting attacks and slanders and reviling pretty often, pretty much daily. A lot of lies and that kind of thing. And what I had to do is I had to go back to this teaching and I put this particular verse, the verse I'm about to read you, I taped it on the wall behind my desk so I could see it every time I sat down. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. maybe one of the hardest verses in the Bible. You can't keep it without the Spirit of God. And so, I guess we have to ask why. What are we doing when we refuse to retaliate? And what in the world does that have to do with us living a life that we love that Peter's talking about? Well, you know what? When you don't retaliate, you can't get in a fight. Do you realize that? If you don't punch back, you can't get in a fight. And some people have completely joyless lives because they spend all their time trying to defend themselves or trying to get back at other people who they feel have attacked them. And I think what Peter's saying is that, look, that's just no way to live. That's no way to really enjoy the blessings of God on your life. And you know, we want to say, but wait a minute. If I don't retaliate, if I don't defend myself, then who will? And that's where you got to read the rest of this passage in Romans. Because it didn't stop what I put on the back of the wall, or on the wall, back of my desk. See, it goes on, verse 18, Paul says this, if possible, so far as it depends on you. In other words, do everything that you can. Didn't always work out that way, but you do everything that you can. Listen to what it says. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Can I just submit this to you here? That God can defend you better than you can. That God's retaliation is so much more just and more right and more complete than you ever could get it right. God's wrath. Now, I know some of you think your wife's wrath is like the nth degree, and it may be close, but I'm telling you, God's wrath is infinitely greater and infinitely more right and more just than our response to evil ever could be. And so Paul says, man, don't spend your time fighting. Don't spend your life trying to retaliate and defend yourselves. God will do it for you. Just give that to God. Because you know God can do a better job of defending you than you can. And so instead of fighting, what are you supposed to do with your days? What are you supposed to do with people that are attacking you and people that say awful things about you? What are you going to do if you don't spend your life fighting? Here's what he says do. Spend your life blessing. Spend your life blessing them. Look at verse 9 of 1 Peter 3. Don't repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, what? Bless. So instead of retaliate, in the place of that, bless. Why should I bless? For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Peter loves that little phrase. I've grown to really dislike it, Brother Bob. Because it always challenges me. It always puts me in a bad spot. Do you remember the last time he used this phrase? It was back in chapter 2, verse 20, 21, I believe. Yeah. And he's talked about there that he wants us to submit to unjust authority. Why? Verse 21, for to this you have been called. And now he turns around and asks us to bless those that deserve our retaliation. Why? Verse 9, for to this, you were called. By whom? God. God saying, I'm asking you to step out of the way. And you bless. And you trust me to handle the rest. I think here's how it works. Someone does you wrong, they expect to fight. And you say, I will not fight you, but I will bless you. And they turn around and they do it again. I will not fight you, but I will bless you. They do it again. I will not fight you, but I will bless you. I mean, Peter had a little, he got into that teaching at one point, and he came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, how many times shall we forgive someone that has wronged us? Up to seven times?" Felt good about himself because the law said you only had to do it three times. And he said, "Oh, seven times?" Or the culture said you had to do it three times. And he felt good about himself. Do you remember what Jesus said? Not seven times, but, yeah, 70 times seven or 77, depending on how you interpret that. And it's not about the number. It's that you keep doing it. No matter how many times you're wronged, you keep blessing, you keep forgiving, you keep responding in the way that Jesus has responded to us. Paul says it like this. He says, this is in Romans 12, verse 20. "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will," watch this, "you will heap burning coals on his head." He said, that's how you fight. Because that's the, you think, yeah, that's what I want to do to my enemies right there. I'm going to throw fire on them. He says, that's how you fight. You know how you fight a winning battle? With love. With the kind of selfless love that Christ showed us. And by the way, this kind of heart destroys any kind of infighting in the church. And say, I'm going to deal with you by loving you the way Jesus loved me. It destroys the kind of infighting that happens in families that leads to divorce. I know you did me wrong, but I'm going to love you like Jesus loved me. Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Luke 6, 27, 28, Jesus says, "But I say to you, you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Do good to those who hate you. How many of you struggle with that verse? Me, I struggle with that verse. Bless those who curse you. Oh, they give me a curse. I'm going to give them. No, you bless them. You let God curse them. God can curse them better than you can. But you bless them. Pray for those who abuse you. And so I just got to think. I want us to think about this. Here is what we're doing when we do this. And I want you to get this because this was profound for me. This is one of the most profound thoughts I've had in a while. Here's what we are doing when we do this. When we do this, we're refusing to fight our enemy and instead choosing to fight evil. Does that make sense? I will not fight my enemy, but I will fight evil in my enemy with the love of Christ. Because the love of Christ destroys evil. You know, it was the love of Christ that destroys evil in you. Isn't that right? And so that's how the gospel conquered evil in us. It's that God didn't fight us, but he fought evil in us. And so that's what we're doing when we love people, heaping burning coals on their head. In other words, we're fighting them with love. We're saying, I refuse to fight my enemy person, but I am going to fight evil. And what oftentimes happens is when we respond with retaliation to things that were evil that was done to us, you know what we do? We just become more evil. We become evil. Evil grows inside of us. And so Peter says, no, 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 no. You love your enemy. And when you love your enemy, you fight evil. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I destroy my enemies when I make them friends." And that's what Jesus did. Going back to Luke 6:35, we're going to meditate on this verse for a moment. He says, "But love your enemies. And do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great." We're going to get to that because Peter hits on that in just a second. But right now we'll talk about this. "And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and evil." Who is he? God. God is kind to the ungrateful and evil. And so we say, well, how? Here's how. We were evil, right? We were enemies of God in our sinfulness, rebelling against God. And by God's grace, he was kind to us and he sent us a Savior. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were evil. We were ungrateful with the life that God had given us, with the breath that he had given us, with the grace of family and friends that he had given us. And yet, he made us sons of the Most High. The gospel. How did he destroy his enemies? He made us friends. No, he made us sons and daughters. And that's what loving instead of retaliating does. And Jesus says as a response to that, his response, if you live this way, you see this in this passage, in verse 35, your reward will be great. Why would I? Because you want great reward. The reward's huge when we begin to live like Christ lives. And Peter hits on the same thing in verse 9 of this passage. It says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless those for to this you were called. Why? That you may obtain a blessing. So if we live the gospel and we treat others the way God has treated us, we are promised an eternal blessing. A blessing in heaven that we can't even begin to fathom the fullness of what that might mean. So I've got to mention the future blessing out there, because that blessing is certainly out there for those who live this way. But there's also a blessing for today for those who live this way as well. And I think it's simple, you know, when we love, I think the blessing is this. When we refuse to fight, we love people like Jesus, we're made like Jesus. And then we become to enjoy God in a way that we never ever could. To feel the blessing of God, the power of God, the presence of God. And we begin to enjoy, we don't fight all the time. Yeah. I want people to go, I hate Bradley. He won't ever fight me. I used to be like that. I used to love the debate. And I still love the debate. And I couldn't stand people who wouldn't debate me. Because I can prove you wrong. They're like, I don't care. I'm not going to debate you. I'm just going to love you. And that's what we do. When we refuse to fight dumb battles all our lives, it opens up all kind of time and resources and energy to love people. All right. And I think this really is a pathway to true blessing. So let's end up with these last couple of verses here. You notice where he says, living this way puts you in a position to be blessed. I want to show you what he says here. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. What does it mean for God's eyes to be on you? That's a good thing. It's a good thing. It means you have special favor from God. His eyes upon you. And that's what I want out of life. Is that what you want out of life? I mean, that's a good way to live, to have the special favor of God on you. And listen to this. It says, verse 12 here, and his ears are open to their prayer. You want to live life in such a way that God always has his ear toward you? Always listening to what you might ask for. Always listening for what you need. Always listening for your desire. That's that picture. You ever known somebody, it just seems like they just prayed so much better than you did? It seemed like whatever they prayed for, they received. They were just that close to God. Their heart was just beating with God's passions. And you know, by the way, if you pray in line with God's will and God's desires, you'll always get what you pray for. Always. All right? And so you meet people and their heartbeat, it's just so in tandem with God's heartbeat that when they pray for things, things happen. And you go, I want to be that guy. I want to have that kind of relationship with God. I want to have that kind of blessing on my life. Then you got to stop fighting people who want to fight you and loving them instead. Now, what's the alternative? The alternative is this. The rest of verse 12 says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And you know what's concerning about this passage? That statement? is who's he talking to? The church. He's saying to the church, and in this context, those who do evil is those who retaliate against evil done to them. And he says, if you spend your life not trusting me enough to defend you and not loving people the way I loved you, then not only will you not have the blessing of God, but you will have an enemy in God. Now, I know that's a tough deal. Can God forgive you of your sins in Christ, if you have faith in Christ, and yet you live a life in such a way that God opposes you? Yes. And many, many Christians are living a life that aren't nearly as blessed that God wants to bless them, so much so that God is having to oppose them because the direction of their lives is so it's out of grace that God opposes their life because their life is leading in a destructive path. And so do you want to live a life of blessing, or do you want to live a life in opposition to God? If you live a life of blessing, we'll tell you, you'll live a life that you love to live. And so what I'm asking you, I guess, this evening is, where are you in these two areas you got to get right? Your respect for others and your response to conflict. What do you need to change in order to live a life that you love? You think about that as we pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this church family. And Father, we deal with a text tonight, a command of God that is so very challenging, one that we cannot accomplish in our own power. So Father, we yield tonight in asking you to accomplish it in us. Lord, for those who are struggling with someone right now that they know they're in conflict with, Lord, would you do a work in their hearts? Would you do a work in the other person's heart that instead of defending themselves, instead of fighting for their own rights, that they would just yield that person to you and they would just be resound to love them no matter what? Because even in our sinfulness, you loved us. Make us that kind of believer, one that you long to turn your ear to. One that you see as one that you long to bless. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.